Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm David Tovey, Editor-in-Chief of the Cochrane Library. Whether it happens where we live, work, or go on holiday, being stung by jellyfish is a painful, frightening, and potentially life-threatening experience. Many of us will have heard of various remedies, and as of December 2013 is a Cochrane review of the evidence. Richard McGee, from the School of Public Health and the University of Sydney, tells us more.
Jellyfish stings are common in temperate coastal regions around the world. And to highlight the scale of the problem, here in Australia, there were 40,000 reported cases of marine sting emergency care between 2010 and 2011, according to Surf Life Saving Australia. Jellyfish possess specialized cells called nematocysts. People are stung when these cells fire and inject their venom. The most common consequences are localized pain and skin reactions. But the sting of some species can result in more severe symptoms or even death. Many treatments have been suggested for the symptoms and signs of jellyfish stings, but there has been considerable uncertainty about which interventions are the most effective. We did this review to fill that knowledge gap, and our findings should be of interest to beachgoers, others exposed to seawater environments such as surf lifesavers, as well as healthcare workers and policymakers. We have obtained some promising findings, which will hopefully help people should they get stung. We looked for any randomized trial that compared any intervention or interventions against an active or non-active control for the treatment of symptoms and signs of jellyfish sting envenomation. We didn't limit ourselves by whether or not a study had been published, the language of its report, or when it had been done, so we're confident that we've been able to include all the existing relevant literature. In total, the review contains 7 trials with 435 participants. 3 of the trials focused on bluebottle jellyfish, 1 on Carukia jellyfish, and the other 3 on Hawaiian box jellyfish. There are also a couple of ongoing trials that we will include in an update when their data are available. When we systematically assessed each trial, we judged that 6 of the 7 were high risk of bias because of at least one aspect of the design, which means that the results should be interpreted with caution. Added to this, we were not able to perform meta-analysis on all 7 trials because of the variety of different interventions applied in different ways and in different settings. And adverse events due to treatment were not reported in any trial. However, we can point to some things that might work. For example, based on the result of a single trial, hot water immersion was shown to be superior to ice packs in achieving clinically significant pain relief for bluebottle jellyfish stings. No statistically significant differences between hot water immersion and ice packs were demonstrated for dermatological outcomes. Where does this leave us when trying to treat the symptoms and signs of jellyfish stings? Firstly, we can be confident that the much-needed reliable evidence is not out there. Considerable uncertainties remain, which need to be tackled in new research. Specifically, it's unclear whether heat alone is sufficient to cause a beneficial effect, or if the effects are unique to hot water immersion. If heat alone is enough, this would mean that heat packs may be of use. It's also unclear what temperature, duration of treatment, and type of water, salt or fresh, are the most effective.
If you'd like to read more about the 7 trials in Richard's review and the variety of interventions that have been tested, log on to the CochraneLibrary.com. We'll also be able to check for future updates as new evidence becomes available.